The issue of chukasayim lo kedeichot, and if you recall, that's what we have been speaking about in terms of non-Jewish attire. So I recall that I mentioned yesterday both the Marik in the Tshuva and also Tesis Avodah Zarah, the very famous Tesis, that they discuss more or less different parameters of the Issa B'chukasayim lo kedeichot. Just to review, if something is done the shame Avodah Zarah for reasons of idolatry, that is a problem of B'chukasayim lo kedeichot. Number two, if something is done the shame Pritzos, which is translated as immodest behavior, that's also B'chukasayim. And number three, if there's no reason why something is done. And we, in that context, we refer to the Thanksgiving tradition of having turkey, which Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a long tshuva, where he indicates that he doesn't think it is a violation of chukasayim lo kedeichot, because the pilgrims were trying simply to express their sherach hodah to Hashem Yisbarach, to express their thanks to Hashem over all of his largesse, all of his bounty that he vouchsafed to them.
Weren't they Christians, in which case would be able
to... So that's the issue. That's the question, whether this has some Christological elements to it, the idea of Thanksgiving. I don't think so. I think there's a big difference between Xmas, Lahavdil, I can use the term, and Thanksgiving. I mean, the two are markedly different. The Rav Soloveitchik always, on Thanksgiving, gave very long shiurim because they moved him from his regular shiur room to the old Beis Medrash, the yeshiva, and the Gemara says, Shinu makom, shinu vest, changes your whole persona. Anyway, so the Rav then would proceed to start the shiur at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he would go on and on and on. Eilu dvarim shein lahem shiur. And then at a certain point, about 4:30 in the afternoon, the Rav would say the following. I'm just quoting Rav Soloveitchik. What time is it? And they would tell him it's 4:30. What? It is close to Shkia. I must go back to Boston in order to have my turkey and cranberry sauce before Shkia Sachama. I assume he was jesting. I don't think he ever got back for Shkia Sachama, to be quite honest. And I don't think he necessarily had turkey and cranberry sauce. But I gather from that statement, if I may, the Gemara says in Masachas Sukkah that Afilu Sichas Chulin Shel Tamine Chacham Tzvicha Limud, even their quote unquote jokes requires limud. It has to be studied. Shenemar V'Yoleil Lo Yibol Pasuk in Tehillim. So therefore, I am extremely and extraordinarily careful with the Sichas Chulin of Marabeim. Every word to me is Kaddish Kaddashim. But the fact of the matter is, I think he was making a statement that I don't think it's a violation of chukasayim lo kedeichot. He didn't address the question directly. Rav Moshe Feinstein does address it directly and feels it's not a violation. I don't per se think it's a Christian holiday. Many people who are not Christians celebrate Thanksgiving.
It's more of a national
holiday. Yeah, it's become more of a national holiday. That's also my understanding of it, I'll be honest with you. And we spoke about that. It's interesting, I came across this morning a famous Taz. One of the most famous Tazes in Shulchan Aruch Tazes. it's in Simen Ches, in Hilchos Tzitzis, the famous Taz where the Taz talks about why male Jews wear a kippah, why they wear kippot. So, what's the reason? The Pashtus, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Kedushin, twice in Shas, he's not here, Jesse, otherwise we would have to speak to him about Kedushin, he's not a Kedushin. he's my Rebbe, Jesse Steinmetz Shlita. Anyway, so the Gemara says that the Gemara tells two stories. One of the stories the Gemara tells about a person who was sitting under a tree, a great Talmid Chacham, and all of a sudden his kippah flew off, and he had that moment he was seized by a desire for kleptomania, to engage in thievery, to steal the peros that were, shall we say, on the tree that did not belong to him. So the Gemara assumes that somehow a kippah is associated with Yerushalayim. Someone told me the word yarmulke stands for Yiras Elokim Bamakom Hazeh. Do you remember in the Torah we have the following pasuk? Raken Yiras Elokim Bamakom Hazeh Baruguni Advar Ishti. I spoke about it in the Kumashirim Avimelech and Paro, that somehow Sarah was abducted And the reason is because there's no Yir HaShamayim. There's no Yir HaShamayim, essentially, all blank breaks loose. All Gehenna breaks loose. And as a result, people simply lose it and are out of control. So that's what Avraham Avinu pointed out. So therefore, some say Yarmulke represents, take the word Yarmulke, Yiras, Yarl, Elohim, Ma, Bamokom, Hazeh. I agree with you. However, that's what some want to say. Comes the Taz, and the Taz has a very, very fascinating, famous chiddush on this issue. The Mishnah Berurah, I believe, quotes it. Thank you. Shukran. May Hashem bless all of you. In Hilchos Tzitzis, that's where the Taz is mentioned. I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah would quote it here, but let us see. But I'll tell you anyway over the Taz, because it's a very famous Taz. And the Davka mentions it in this context of Hilchos Tzitzis. He points out that a person who does not wear a kippah is in violation of Ubechukol Sehem Lo Selechu. That is considered to be someone who is in violation of this law. Why is that so? So he notes the Taz, and I recall this in my days in the United States. So I'll just read Lashon, perhaps, that is mentioned over here in the Mishnah Berurah. The reason why he attached it to this din in Shulchan Aruch, because there's a din in Sif. In Simen Ches, so the Mechaber says that a person should in effect be misati b'tzitzis, you put on a talus and you make a bracha, of course, and you should not walk b'gili rosh, v'nochen she'echas a rosh b'talus, you should cover your head with a talus. So the Mishnah Berurah says, she'kisu zeh, by covering your head, machni alev ha'odom, it actually makes a person be humble and brings into your Hashamayim. Vayin b'taz, she'dad tov nochen, even though you cover your head with the towels, you should still keep the kippah, the yarmulke on your head, says the Taz. And then he quotes the Bach, how long the towels has to be over your head. Some people actually do it from beginning to end. Other people actually do not necessarily follow that particular prescription. But the reason why I mention this is because he does not quote the Taz, I see. But the Taz says the following. Unbelievable Taz. The Taz writes that what is the practice of non-Jews when they enter a church, or when they enter any kind of religious abode, they take off their cap. They take off their head covering. Therefore, the Taz says, by virtue of taking off a head covering, we're in violation of Chukasim Lo Selech. What a chiddush. Tremendous chiddush gadol of the Taz, which he says in Shulchan Aruch.
Is that because you're wearing, can you wear any other head covering instead of a kippah?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be dafka, obviously, a yarmulke, you can wear that, anything of sort that covers your head. There's a tshuva of the Marshal, Hashemaluya, right? So the tshuva that he says that if a person, there are those who have a custom never to wear a kippah, let's say, unless they're in a synagogue or a Mekneset. There are those who have such a practice, different ethnic groups, without getting into names. What's the basis of that? Maybe it's based on a marshal who says that since a person is under a gag, once you're under a roof, so that's considered to be like a kind of kippah.
Then you don't wear anything.
That's right, you have to wear a head covering, that is to say. But
totally
Ashkenazim generally are not knowing like that.
That totally is against the Taz.
Taz is coming from a different place. The Pashup Shad, for example, the question question that's often asked is, why is it the women don't have to wear kippah? This is a famous question. So there are a number of answers. One of the answers, Rabbi Lubavsky Shlita was talking to me about it yesterday. So he felt that the answer that I told him is really a recent vintage. Namely, that women inherently have a greater degree of Yir HaShamayim than the male counterparts. That is probably a correct statement. And you'll ask me why. I can go into a lengthy lecture on distinction between men and women. But whatever the case is, because of that, they have no need for that, shall we say, headgear, because they inherently already have the Yir HaShamayim, while men do not necessarily have it. And there's a general reason why women are part of Mitzvah Seh as my grandma. This is mentioned by Rishonim already, because, again, women, first of all, the nature of their lives are such that they cannot necessarily be bound to Mitzvah Seh Shas Mahagroma. But even beyond that, the second time that's mentioned is also the fact that inherently there's a greater degree of Yir HaShamayim that they have naturally, inherently. And therefore there's no need for them to wear this kind of a kippah. But the Taz is saying a chiddush gadol and b'chukosem lo selecho. The basis for wearing a kippah is because they daf their caps, and therefore when they go to a church or whatever it may be, and therefore that's the reason why we are obligated to go ahead and dafka be medaktik on the wearing a kippah and get ituf. That's where it's mentioned, Shulchan Aruch and Sif in Simen Ches and Hilchos Tzitzis. That's what the Taz Davka over there decides to mention Salach. I just point out to you, I saw, for example, I didn't really attend too many, but here and there in the United States, I went to two or three baseball games, perhaps the last, I don't know, 40 years or so. And my children wanted to go to a baseball game. So I said, why not? So I went to a baseball game. And once we went on Pesach with matzah sandwiches, that I recall, that like left an impression of Rosh. But I noticed that at one point, I'm not sure exactly what the, when the national anthem was played. So everyone, they take off their caps. So I didn't fully understand the, again, out of respect, apparently that's how they view in the church or singing the national anthem. Adopt their caps. So that's what the Taz is talking about. That Dafka now it becomes a violation of Chukasei Lo Salecha. But I agree that this is a big chiddush. I'm asking, it's a chiddush god of the Taz. The simple pshat in wearing a kippah is because the Gemara and Shabbos and Kedushin that the fellow was seized by a desire for kleptomania the moment his hat was somehow lifted off his head, and therefore there's a yashamayim that a cap. I told him that the yarmulke stands for Yiras Elokim Babakam Hazeh. Yeah.
Okay, so those who hold that you don't have to wear a kippah inside, do they?
It's only the marshal. Yeah, marshal is a chiddush. It's not called the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I wanted to be melamed zchus. I wanted to be melamed zchus on them. That's why I quoted the marshal. The marshal says tachas gag. Keep us Hashemayim, yes, and Tachas Gad, there's kind of a roof, or whoever there's a roof over your head, so then Yesh Makom. But that's not the practice. The practice is Akti Dekach with the Chazanish, they say, and there are those who are very redacting the mitzvahs, even very little children, little chaps, little tykes, little toddlers, their heads are always covered, even when they are sleeping and the like, and because of Yesh Makom, people who are, that's itself, this is a very pervasive. Very common kind of practice.
But someone who is a year and a half or so, and you're planning to ask, is that a girl?
Because?
Was wearing a yarmulke.
Philly point. Yeah, what are you saying?
So the source that says that you can wear it without a yarmulke, indoors. Does he hold that you have to?
Yeah, for sure. No, the pasha. The imala. Stop it. He wants to Hashem. Of course, that no pasha. Even those who are not as medactic in terms of where they work, they don't necessarily wear their kippah, but they certainly they daven bench. Say kriyashem brachas. Amazon brachas. No, the pasha. They right away put on a kippah. And Chas v'Shalom, not being fakvik in there. But the pasha of Shulchan is not like that at all. The Gemara says, the Gemara person does not walk down the Amos with the Gilui Rosh. It doesn't say whether you're a Tachas Gag or Tachas Gibbas a Shemaim. There's no such thing as Shemaim. Yeah.
What should one do in that type of situation at a ball game where like, you're not nervous, so like, you can make a comment? Or, like,
again, I think that I personally did not doff my cap, I'll be honest with you. I was wearing a baseball cap probably, maybe. I don't recall.
Let's say you're at like an indoor sporting event where you're a little rely on the marshal for that 2.5 minutes while you're not moving.
Yeah, if you're standing and not moving, I think Yeshal is there. It's going to cause a...
There's some extremely, extremely patriotic people that might
I once watched as a group of drunkards, I think we call them, yelled at an old woman. Because she did not stand during the national anthem.
Maybe she had difficulty standing.
I was not one of the ones who yelled. Sometimes they hold all the chumras of the national anthem, so sometimes it encourages you to take off your head covering. Is that okay?
Yep. It would be preferable then to wear a yarmulke gets under the baseball cap. So when you
they would be mocked with that. You have to take that off also.
No, I don't think so. I think if you're wearing a cap, you hold it up.
I think the issue is a cap, and they hold it like
that. Yeah, so if you do that, you're throwing yarmulke, I think that may be okay with
that's
it.
Fine. That would be a good eitzah, the one that you had suggested. Since I mentioned this Gemara in Brachas, I actually found, I was going to show it to you anyway, in the Tshuva of the Ma'arik that I'm reading over here. So the Ma'arik has a long Tshuva about the Gemara in Brachas, the Karbalta, since our Goldschmidt came. So the Gemara came off, so I had to call the Gemara in Brachas. So the Gemara deals with the Karbalta that was torn off by one of the great Talmid Chachamim. And the reason is the Ma'arik has a long explanation. It goes from the Aruch that this red, flaming red kind of garment apparently ain't derech menos Yisrael niskasas b'gad me'elu shu pritzos. Well, maybe the Avera. So that's what the Tzeis Avodah Zarah said. I told you the three Gedarim that are called in Sharon Aruch. Get the number one, something that's done the shame Avodah Zarah. Get the number two, something that's done the shame pritzos. And get the number three, something that is in effect done for no reason whatsoever. That's why I told you when I saw in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue the rabbi with that rather resplendent kind of black garment and this very fascinating high black type of hat, not a stovepipe hat, no Lincoln hat, but a very unusual kind of cassock, if you will. So that is the minhag of rabbanim in that particular community. That's not a violation of Hussein al-Sereifel. But in the case of Karbalta, this flaming red garment, flamingo-like, if you will, was exactly viewed by the great Talmud Chacham as something which is inappropriate, even though it had to be a goy. So that's why he was punished. With 400, he had to pay 400, shall we say, coins, which was quite hefty. But anyway, this is considered to be Malbushi Akka. That's what he writes here in the... and we mentioned yesterday, it varies midor to door, and from zeitgeist to zeitgeist. Each door has its own particular attire, its own particular styles, and unquestionably it changes from place to place. The fact of the matter is that I saw in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal that he passed in that to wear red garments in one's home is not considered to be a problem. So apparently inherently we assume that it's not necessarily a violation of Hukas HaAkam. Often women wear these kind of garments, but the issue is for men to wear this type of a garment. The Gemara says, speaks about a woman, the Kusis, where Baruch is not off. But I'm just saying, for a man, again, he has to somehow try to figure out each time whether this is considered to be a violation of one of the three principles that the Taisus quotes in Avodah Zarah, and the Shulchan Aruch mentions these three principles of Halacha, and the Ma'arik also, a long, long tshuva, just goes on forever, this is a tshuva of the Ma'arik, but anything which is a min of goyim, which emanates from the items that I mentioned above, is certainly problematic. So there is no question there's a particular kind of dress that's associated with Klal Yisrael. I'll just end by referring to famous comment of Chazal, example in this week's Pasha. My father Shom was very fond of this Chazal, but he was fond of two things. Ve'ela Shemos stands for Ve'chayav, Aleph, Odom, Lamed, Likro, Hey, HaPasha, Shemos, Shnai, Mika, Ve'chatagon. My father's to quote that when I was 3 years old, I heard that. Number two, what all the Mefarshim mentioned, this is Pasha, Chazal. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, so they were distinguished, Loshino Shemam, Esloshenam, Yes Malbusheim. They didn't change their language, they didn't change their name. Ruven Nichnas, Ruven Yatza, as opposed to Ruven Nichnas and, shall we say, Bi Yatza? No, an Egyptian name, obviously. Musaf, or something along those lines. Yes. And the third is Malbushayim. They didn't change their clothing. Apparently the distinctive clothing worn by Jews, and that's considered to be something which is appropriate and proper, and that's what one should do. Mm-hmm.